You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
What is happening?
It's all I don't know.
You're listening to the AME Radio Show.
Welcome to the AME Radio Show. I'm your host, Jason Dowd. It is Saturday afternoon, and we're here talking about everything art, music, and entertainment. So no matter where you are, no matter where you're going, hopefully you are enjoying this with us. And I'm going to make sure that we're going to use this time wisely to inspire you and show the world what people have going on. We are the voice of artists everywhere, and I am very proud of that. So, let's see. We got a bunch of things to talk about today. We have Brian James coming on here in a little bit. He is actually an author about Norse gods, and he wrote a book about it called Mjolnir. Now, what's really interesting about this is it takes these Norse gods that we all remember from school, these Greek and Latin gods, and they turn them into situations that we would deal with today. How would these gods react to how we live today? It's a great concept, and it's interesting, and it helps bring these deities that people once, you know, some of them don't believe that they exist, some of them do, some of them still do, but it takes these gods and allows our kids to enjoy them and get to learn about them and learn about the history. That's important. The object of this book is to get kids interested in history again. Also, we have Ron Tramontano coming on, and he is the president of a amazing concept called online competitions, and he's going to be telling us about his organization and what it does. And this is a great opportunity for not only people to compete, but businesses. They can make money. You can make money off of this. So if you want to have your own battle of the bands, but you don't want to go out and have a venue, you can do it right online, and people around the world can then vote on you, not just the people in the stands. A great concept, and I think this is going to be something that we can all use going forward, and it doesn't really matter what type of business or art or whatever you have. In fact, I'd like to try to use this in my own radio show here, you know, for our art, music, and entertainment divisions, and see what we can put together from some great competitions and see what we can do. So that's what we have coming on there as well. But before we do that, please go check out our website, www.theamemagazine.com. Don't forget to bookmark it. That has the AME experience all in one spot. What you'll see is our radio, television, and magazine. So if you miss anything, you want to see what we have coming up, it's there. Go check it out anytime you want. It's free. Also, while you're there, you can find the links to our social media platforms. We're on just about every one of them. And please like us, follow us, do whatever the terminology is, but just be a part of that as well. We want to grow, and we want to expand, and that's one of the ways that we're doing so. And it's probably the most effective way because everybody's on those as well. So you can help us get our message out there and help support the arts by just telling people that we're there, and hopefully they'll go ahead and follow us and do whatever. Also, while you're there, we have a app for the Android and Apple platforms. It's completely free. It gives you push notifications. I think that's a lot of fun. And it's a modern way to keep in touch with us right from your phone or tablet. Now, we do have a slight delay for Apple because, like I said last week, it got completely taken down. The guy that built it for us, was hosting it for us, decided, I don't want to do this anymore. He didn't give us the source code and just deleted everything. So we have a brand new Apple one being developed. It was finished today. It is now being approved by Apple, and hopefully in the next day or two, it will be ready for download. Now, if you have the current one, technically it still works, but it's not going to be effective anymore, and you won't be able to download it. So just stay tuned for that, and I will let you know exactly when you can get it from the store. But just keep going back and seeing what we got. All right, guys. So what I want to talk to you guys about today is something that I had to go through not too long ago, and that was redefining myself. Now, there's a lot of ways of redefining yourself, but if you're an artist like I am, sometimes you realize that you run into some type of plateau. It's like you can't get any higher, and the only way you could go is technically is backwards, but you can't go any higher than that, than where you are now. And sometimes people copy you, or you see that there's something that's just completely engulfing your industry that you were part of beforehand, and now you got to stand out a little bit. And I gotta say, this is probably one of the hardest things I ever had to do, for a couple reasons. One of them, I was satisfied with what I was doing. The problem with it was is that everybody did the same thing, so I couldn't stand out. The other thing was, I wanted to still be an individual, and I felt like that was how I was an individual, because that's how I got to where I was. But yet, on the other hand, now I needed to stand out. So I'm going to have to either bite the bullet and change and find some way of going into this new direction, or stay where I am and be you know, complacent with it. But I'm not one of those type of people that are very complacent. In fact, I like standing out. I've always stood out. Even when I was in school, you know, I was one of those people that just didn't go by the wayside. You know, if everybody was wearing, you know, a blue shirt, I went out and wore black. That's just the way I was. And I like that part of me. So I didn't completely, you know, fight myself on this like some people do. I actually kind of embraced it. But it was a challenge of finding out what I wanted to do and what sparked my interest. So what I did is I went and did a lot of research. You know, I tried to think of things that I liked. I tried to see people that inspired me. And I tried to see what they did. And then I wanted to take that and spin on it a little bit. And I found out that I was really attracted to the styles of steampunk. I was also intrigued by masks. And I was fascinated by, what do they call it, dapper, the dapper style. And you've probably seen people like that. It's where they dress up like from the 1800s to 1950s, and they just embellish on it and put a modern twist on it. I love it. So I try to incorporate that into my particular work. But I also like gothic too, and I try to throw that in a little bit. And what I came up with was a mask collection, and I came up with a steampunk collection, and I also did pinups. Now, this stuff is, yes, it's out there, but it's not completely out there like the stuff that I was doing before. I'm still true to that stuff, and I will still do them, but I'm not going to put my focus on it. I try to put my focus on this new stuff that I'm going with. And I found cool ways of making it three-dimensional and all kinds of different things. That's one of the things that I wanted to do most with my work, is make it tell a story, but do it in different ways. You know, I could take a picture all day long, but I would love to make it three-dimensional so people can see it, touch it, and get a great view of it, you know? So these were some of the things that I had to do. And now that I had a plan, I had to figure out how to make it happen. And that takes a little bit of strategy, but it also brings up some other complications. Now you have time and availability, because it is harder to come up with the stuff, and money. So no matter what you're going to do, you're going to run into those two situations. And the idea is to find the best possible way to make it what you want to have happen without costing an arm and a leg and not taking your entire time up either. So if you want to redefine yourself, I always suggest to artists that they continuously grow and evolve. And that's redefining yourself as much as you possibly can. And it's healthy for you. You know, so now that I've looked back throughout my entire career, which I've had for over 20 years, I can see how I've grown, and I can see where I'm going, and I can see that, yeah, I'm not perfect, and there's always going to be something I can do to improve, but I can see how I have grown throughout the years, and I can see how my techniques have gotten better because I'm continuously evolving, continuously reevaluating, and redefining my style and myself. And thanks to that, I don't ever want to stop, and I'm going to continue to grow and be better and strive for perfection with everything that I do. So this is something I highly suggest any artist, doesn't matter what art field you're in. It could be culinary, it could be literary, it could be fine arts, it could be performing arts, it could be movies and television. No matter what it is, always try to grow in your craft and redefine yourself, because the challenge is what makes you stronger. Complacency is what keeps it the same all along. All right, guys, I'm going to try to play a little bit more music in this particular show, so I'm going to cut it short a little bit. But we're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have Brian James on the line, and I think you guys are going to really enjoy that. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, this is Jason, and I have something I want to talk to you guys about. Last year, as you know, somebody in my family suffered a stroke. These things come on unannounced, and it can cost you your life. Why? because it's usually from high blood pressure or clots, and you don't know you have these problems because it generally has no symptoms. One way to ensure that you don't have high blood pressure is to test it regularly. But who has the time to do it? You have to sit down, strap a blood pressure cuff on, and take the test. And they are bulky and hard to travel with. Now there's a product called Helo LX. The stylish piece of technology not only looks good, but it tests your vitals all the time on demand. Check your blood pressure, see how many steps you've done, see your heart rate, see how much sleep you get, how many calories you burn. It checks it all while you do what you want to do. Then you can check the results right on an app on your phone. I bought it for my family members, and you should too. To get yours, go to amemagazine.worldgn.com and get it, or any of their stylist accessories. In doing so, you'll invest in your health and help the AME experience get our word out and be the voice of artists everywhere. So what are you waiting for? That address again is amemagazine.worldgn.com.
Hey y'all, you're listening to Tequila Cowgirl off my new album, Tequila Cowgirl. My name's Cherish Lee. I'm looking forward to having you hear the new album. We're going to go ahead and release it January 2018. There are 7 tracks on it, and it's a window looking into Cherish Lee. So I hope y'all enjoy it. Thank you for being a part of this with me. I couldn't do it without you. Tequila Cowgirl. Hi, this is Ashley Scott, and you're listening to AME Radio.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We have on line with us our special guest. His name is Brian James. He's the author of a new book called Melanir, A Story of the Norse Gods in the Contemporary America, which is a very interesting subject. So welcome to the show, Brian. How are you doing today?
Not bad. How are you?
Not too bad. So I guess before we get into the book itself, when did you decide you wanted to be a writer?
Well, shortly after college. I went to college, got a history degree, and I really wanted to be Indiana Jones.
That's cool.
And then I found out most of Indiana Jones is just teaching.
So,
and oh, that,
no, go ahead.
Oh, and then after that, I started teaching. I realized that it wasn't quite for me. I went into corporate life, and in the Michigan area, corporate means automotive. Mm-hmm. I started doing some technical writing. Technical writing went into, can you do this for the newsletter? And then when the bottom came out of the automotive industry in 2007, in a weird set of circumstances, I found myself eventually writing for the World Poker Tour. Oh, and writing for their magazine. And I learned I truly enjoyed writing.
So this book that you wrote, I can see now where you'd probably come up with that type of a topic, being a history major and teacher. What kind of gets you into the Norse gods? I mean, what was the inspiration behind that?
Well, first of all, it's not just the gods. It was the Norse culture itself that always fascinated me, because we romanticize a lot of what they do, mm-hmm. but these were horrible, horrible people. These were the world's first terrorists.
That is true.
Of all the classic cultures, the Romans, the Greeks, the early Germanic people, though they worshipped a similar god, mm-hmm. it was every god for those cultures was a rain god, a sun god, something that gave them something they needed. Mm-hmm. The Norse worship a death god, what's called a psychopomp. Odin is a farrier of the dead. He takes the dead people to Valhalla or to Hell or to Niflheim. Hmm. So they culturally believed death was something they needed. and that carry over into all their actions. And I just found the psychology of their entire culture fascinating.
Hmm.
Very, very bleak, but very fascinating.
Well, it's very interesting. I've studied some of the gods, not a lot of the gods, but I have kind of touched on some of those period deities. But one of the things that I did notice about them is that it's kind of similar to Egypt too. The Egyptian gods.
There are some similarities. Where are you seeing the correlations?
Well, like what I'm thinking is like, you know, the sun, Ray, the god of the sun and stuff like that. And, you know, you have the god of the underworld and the, you know, death gods and stuff like that. I mean, they're a little similar in some of the things that they needed. You know what I mean? That they had the god for the purposes that they served.
And they borrowed a lot from cultures they touched.
Mm-hmm.
And their boats did make it down to Egypt.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you can even see early Christianity in Odin, because Odin hung on a tree for 3 days to gain knowledge and died on the tree. Hmm. Jesus was crucified, and 3 days later came back to life, exactly like Odin.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you're going to see elements of Egyptian. You're going to see some Greek elements in there in places. You're going to see some Christianity.
So tell me a little bit about the book, because the book seems pretty interesting. How did you come up with the concept of the gods here in America, and give us a little background of what the book's all about?
Well, coming up with the idea is just, this is way before Marvel started making movies,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure you'll just sit there talking about things with your friends, and all my friends are comic book nerds, how we grew up. So we talk about how would these things play out in modern day. And some of those conversations became what my characters became.
Mm.
Like Thor, what would he be doing today? We don't really worship gods the same way they did back then, but we do worship sports heroes.
Yeah.
With his strength, with his ego, he would probably be in the NFL, which is how I've written it.
Hmm. Interesting. So you take modern day, you take the older gods and apply them to modern day America.
Correct. And in the case of Thor, he's become an atheist because in the later myths, his wife is never mentioned, especially in Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
So I just take the leap that she died. Now Thor, believing he's a god, sees his wife goddess die. Reasons, well, we're gods, how can we die? We must not be gods.
Mm-hmm.
But he still demands worship. So there we are. He's an NFL player with 40,000, 50,000 people screaming his name every week.
Wow, interesting. So what other type of gods did you put into this particular story?
I put in Odin. Odin in the Ragnarok prophecy, in their myths, he dies.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, Odin does not want to die. He's like any one of us. So, knowing what the prophecy says about his death, he has committed his entire life and all his resources to not having that happen. So, he came to Earth and took over and grew a defense contracting firm. If there was going to be a final battle, he with Loki and with Surt, he wasn't going to fight it with swords and spears. He was going to fight it with missiles and lasers.
Hmm.
He would harness the ingenuity of the people of the humans, and let's face it, we're pretty good at weapon making.
Hmm. What other gods did you put in?
Oh. Freya is the goddess of love. She doesn't do as well as far as integrating into human society. She's a prostitute.
Okay.
And I took that idea because in the myths, that's what she reduced herself to as well. For example, in the myths, her most prized possession is called the Necklace of the Brisings, and she slept with a number of dwarves in order to get this necklace. So we just apply that personality into modern day to get the things that she would want, she would use her sexuality.
Hmm.
Loki is a bit of Loki is the god of lies. He's, and I hate to say it, but in this book, he's my favorite character. He's the CEO of a Amway-style multi-level marketing company that sells cheap products on late-night TV.
So, was it hard to come up with the personality of the god as we know them and learned about them and apply them to these type of character situations? Was it really hard to go through that and figure that out, or did it kind of come naturally? And what were some of the things that you picked out of their, like, pick two or three guys that you wrote about and pick out their characteristics that made you apply it to this particular scenario?
Well, it wasn't hard writing their personalities at all. Weirdest thing I can say is sometimes when you start writing, it's almost like they write themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Different voices for different characters. Loki speaks, his speaks a whole lot differently than Thor will speak as far as how he's presented. And as I'm writing them, it's not a challenge to separate because for some reason that's just what came out when I was writing Loki. And Thor, being a little stiffer than Loki, doesn't have the sense of humor, that's what comes out when I write Thor. Now, that could be because I was a fan of the myths growing up. I knew all of them, and those personalities just came out as I've always known them.
So, you already kind of told us your favorite character in this particular story. What is your least favorite character and why?
Least favorite character? Well, he's everyone's favorite. I'd have to say Thor.
Really?
Thor is obviously a focus. But Thor, throughout the myths, even the Marvel Comics depiction of him, it's hard to get past a two-dimensional personality with him. Everyone else is so layered. Thor is, I'm the strongest one in the room. I don't need much else. Now, the way I've written him, I've added a few things. Once again, he's never quite got over what he believes is the death of his wife. So there's a underlying sadness to the man. So I try to add a little to what the myths have already given him.
Now, in real life, you know, mythology and stuff, what were some of your favorite gods and deities that we do know, and why?
Just for the north, just for north or Norse or overall?
Overall.
Overall, Heracles is always a good one. He is such a physically powerful, overwhelming force that is also incredibly morally and arguably intellectually weak.
Mm-hmm.
And the Greeks made absolutely no bones about presenting him that way. They didn't present him as perfect. Other favorites. In the book, Loki's a favorite. In the myth, Loki's a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Loki has got he's good. Have you ever seen Die Hard?
Yes, I have, yes.
Okay, the bad guy in Die Hard was a bad guy that you kind of also liked, at least in my opinion.
Right.
Loki's a bad guy that you could actually like. Yes, he's evil. He's also funny, and he's charming. And he'll do stupid things just to make people laugh. For example, in one myth, he's trying to make a giantess laugh. So he ties a goat to his genitals and lets him pull him around for a little while. he'll do the stupid humor,
mm-hmm.
but then he'll also be in, he'll do juvenile things, like sneak into Thor's home and shave his wife's head just for fun. And he'll turn around and do absolutely evil things. And then he'll also do some very good things.
Mm-hmm.
He is a very complex character.
So what do you hope people get when they read your book? What do you hope that they take away from it?
Well, first thing, I hope it succeeds where a book should succeed, and that they're entertained, and that they get a little bit of a vacation from a lot of the insanity that goes on in real life nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's face it, can we, any of us, turn on a television without wanting to immediately turn it off in a lot of cases?
Right.
So I just hope that, first of all, they're entertained. Second of all, I want them to come away with a little bit more understanding about these particular gods, because, well, I love the Marvel movies. Like any other geek-leaning person, I love everything Disney's doing with that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Norse gods, as shown to us by them, not even close to the actual Norse. It's like they took their names and put them on characters that are vaguely similar, but not the same. So this will give them a little history and a little exposure to the real gods.
Sure. So hopefully that they'll be interested in this and start to learn about some of the history that we've had in the world.
Correct.
Well, that's a good way to do it.
And when I wrote this, I've got a part even before the preface, and basically it's your Reader's Digest version of Norse mythology, so you know what you're getting into. You know the players once you actually get into the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good, because, I mean, a lot of these kids probably don't know a lot of these types of characters, so, you know, that is important for them to, for you to kind of set out who they are, what their characteristics are like, and then it makes the book a little bit more understandable, I'm sure.
Right, and in the second Thor movie, they started to describe the nine worlds, but they didn't really explain it, so it left a lot of people confused.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. So, we're about 3 minutes left. I would like you to be able to tell everybody how they can find the book and how they can find out about anything else that you have going on in your world that they might be interested in.
Well, you can find the book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, iTunes, basically anywhere where they sell things with paper and covers. And, of course, it is available for Kindle as well.
Cool.
You can check out my site for snippets of it so you get familiar with the style and people can see if it's something they would actually like to read. And that is norsehammer.com.
And
I'm working on Norsehammer, NorseHammer.
Perfect.
.com.
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and I really hope your book is successful, and hopefully we get, you know, people interested in learning history, because I think that's very important too. I mean, you know, it's fun, and it kind of shows our roots and how we got to where we are today.
Completely agree. I think that we can't ignore a lot of this.
Mm-hmm. Well,
thank you for having me on.
No problem, Brian. And again, thank you for coming on. This has been a lot of fun, and we wish you all the best.
All right, have a good day.
You too. All right, everybody, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have more, so don't go anywhere.
Jason Dowd of Imagination Art Studios is proud to announce the release of his steampunk collection, which is currently on tour across the country. There you will see beautiful handmade masks from Venice, Italy that accentuate beautiful women to create amazing stories and feelings to those who visit the collection. Each photo series has a theme, mask, authentic props, and beautifully elaborate outfits, all collaborated in the mind of Jason Dowd to create the right emotion and feeling. The masks come from a shop at Epcot at the Italian Pavilion, where all these photos are on display for you to see. This is one of the biggest accomplishments of his career, having his work at Disney. Come see the beautiful first release of the series, which includes Distressed Dancer, Spanish Serenade, The Pied Piper, and Reaching for the Czars. You can see them in person or online at www.imaginationartstudios.com. For more information, visit the website. Again, it's imaginationartstudios.com. Our Facebook is Imagination Art Studios. Twitter is at Dow Studios. And Instagram is at Jason Dow. Come and be mesmerized by the masks and the stories behind them.
Hi, everyone. My name is Darius Norman, the author of the new book entitled Rewriting Financial Rules. Have you wondered and needed advice in terms of repairing and building your credit? Do you need strategies to boost and to see quick results in building your credit? Do you need to learn how to protect yourself against financial predatory companies like debt collectors? Well, look no further. Rewriting Financial Rules is the perfect book to give you the step-by-step process to adjust and make those changes financially.
This is Andrea Tantaros from the Fox News Channel and author of the new bestseller, Tied Up the Knots. You're listening to AME Radio.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We have on the line with us our special guest. His name is Ron Tramontano. He is the president of Virtual Competitions. He's been in a lot of competitive things, and I'm really excited to what he has to promote to everybody here today because of the fact that I think it's going to change not only businesses, but people in general, and it gives us a neat way of expressing ourselves. So welcome to the show, Ron. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm good, Jason. I'm good, and I thank you for the opportunity. Believe me, it's been looking to get with you.
Oh, not a problem at all. This is going to be a lot of fun. Now, I have seen through your background, and I kind of want to go over your little background a little bit, because what you kind of do is do online competitions. But what you've been into with martial arts, and it looks like you've been in the officer training at the West Point Military Academy, and you've been in a lot of things that it's very, very competitive. So competitive nature's in your blood. Tell us a little bit about your background.
I used to work for the New York Telephone Company in a specialized group called the Radio and TV Group. We used to do events. We'd set up microwave transmitter links between the broadcasters. So we would take the broadcaster's camera feed and go ahead and send it to the studios. When the Pope came to New York, I followed him around for like two weeks, I think he was there. When the hostages came back to from Iran, I was up at West Point with them. I mean, I've seen so many different things, and, you know, it was just a great, fun job. Presidential elections, you'd be standing right there next to these people. So it was a lot of fun. But, then martial arts, I've had a school in Boca Raton, Florida for the last 30, we're going on our 33rd year. So, in the same location. So martial arts is in my blood. I love it. I love what it does for the kids today. Every one of these kids today is walking around with their head in the phone. And, I keep thinking to myself, if we don't do something where we go ahead and bring the technology into what we do, like into the martial arts, we're going to lose these kids. And the martial arts does some amazing things, the discipline, the respect, the focus, the control. All of these things are available through martial arts. You're a martial artist. The martial arts makes everything you do better. I don't care what kind of a sport you do, it makes you better at it. So, I would love to see more kids and, I really developed this whole thing for the martial arts and the martial arts industry, but it just took off. I mean, it does dance, it does gymnastics, it'll do comedy, it does actors, people come up and read scripts, and you automatically get an opportunity to see these people. It's like a little reality show for everyone. And it, what's nice about it, it's all over the world. Mm-hmm. You know, you, everybody has the ability to take a short video of themselves and stick it up on the internet. And, you know, you have, you know, take the Olympics. I mean, we got all of these athletes setting all kinds of records. You know, what's great about this is now you have an access to everyone in the world. Everybody has a phone that has a camera that can take a, you know, a video, a short video of himself. And now what we'll see is, we're going to start to see records being broke by people in third world countries, people that don't have an opportunity to do the traveling, or, you know, they just don't have the money to get out there and, you know, get here, family sickness. You know, we're going to be able to eliminate a lot of that. And we're going to start to see a lot of different things through a platform like this.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, your background in martial arts, I know exactly what you're talking about with that, because I got into martial arts for a couple of different reasons. One of them, I was bullied a lot when I was a child. And when I got in there, I realized that it wasn't just about self-defense. It was also about how to defuse situations. I learned self-control. I learned
right.
the ability to walk away and use your voice before you use any fist. And it does do some amazing things, and it gives you confidence in so many other ways. It's an amazing field of not only athletics, but also, you know, it's an art.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. You know, a lot of people, we talk about bullying. Yeah, I mean, you have cyberbullying, you have regular bullying. You know, we have to teach these kids how to handle these things.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, what, at my school, you know, if you're being bullied, you know, I kind of teach, a little formula here. First, you got to decide, is the person who is bullying you, are they really a good person just having a bad day? Because you're not looking to hurt anybody. You're not looking to go ahead and, you know, hurt somebody that's really a good person.
Right.
You know, and if you have to deal with it, well, then you should fall into what we call five options. You know, the first option is walk away. Nobody should give you you know, be able to go ahead and make you do something you don't want to do. You don't want to fight. You should be able to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Option number two is if you can't walk away, well, then you should know how to control the person. You know, so you don't have to hurt them and they can't hurt you. All right. So control is really important. Number three is a little bit of pain. You know, everybody learns with pain. Mm-hmm. You know, you put your hand on the stove. You do it once. You're not going to do it again.
That's right.
It's just the way it works, you know. You know, the fourth option is you need to break bones. You got to go ahead and take that littlest bone on, you know, that pinky or something, and break it, because nobody's going to want to fight you when they have a broken bone.
Right.
You know, and option number five, naturally, is what our police, you know, police have such a hard job. You know, a martial artist can go ahead and he gets into a fight, he can just wail on the person. A police officer, he has to be able to be disciplined, and he has to be able to use just the right amount of force. And that is hard. That is tough.
Mm-hmm.
That is really tough. So, you know, and then our army, our military, you know, they're out there doing what they have to do.
Right.
So it's tough. But the martial arts teaches you all of this. It teaches you the discipline and the control.
And balance, too. You know, I got to be very, very, I got to be very graceful through it. And I think that's a very important thing, because I could have hit the floor very hard a couple of times, but I managed to, because I learned balance, I was able to save myself some serious injuries.
Very true. It, you know, that is something that, you know, it just does all of these things. You know, with our competition platform now, what we're looking to do, you know, basically the way this thing works is somebody would come. They purchase the platform, okay? The purchase price of the platform is $95. It's a one-time fee, and it comes with a one-year guarantee. So the platform itself is not something you join. It's something you own,
okay?
All right? You own part of the platform. So once you've purchased the platform, that gives you the ability to create events. So what's going to happen is, you'll go into your back office, you'll create an event, whatever the event you want. It could be anything, whether it's martial arts or dance, gymnastics, comedy, dirt bike riding. I don't care what it is. There's so many different things that you could do here. You'll create the event, you'll create the categories of competition within the event, and then you just go out and you start to broadcast it all over, you know, Facebook, Twitter, G+. You let people know that the event's taking place, and those people come up to the event. They pay you an entry fee, all right? That's how you make your money. Once you're an owner, you get paid through entry fees. The way I get paid is through every competitor all over the world pay an annual fee. Right now, our annual fee is $25. So you can see it's a big money project. It really is. But for what it does and for the ability it gives, you know, people to go ahead and own a real business online that has the possibility of making a lot of money. Let's say you're doing some type of an event and you're going to charge $20 for, your entry fee. You have a hundred people, 100 clients, 100 students. You just made $2,000.
Right.
That's a lot of money. And, an event takes 1 month. It takes, from the 1st and it goes to the 25th. And you can run multiple events at the same time. You know, let's say I'm a martial artist, so my tendency is to talk a little bit more about the martial arts. Let's say I want to run a competition and I want to invite other schools. I can invite any school all over the world. I could have 5, 6, 10 schools, you know, join an event that I go ahead and create. The way we judge, and this is important, you know, the way you judge the competitions is you have what we call social media, which is star votes and views. Okay. The winner would be the one who gets the most star votes and views. And I'll tell you what, Jason, that is very powerful. Mm-hmm. Because what ends up happening is, you know, a kid gets, he makes his little, 4-minute video, and he goes up there and he presents himself, and all of a sudden, mom is putting this on Facebook, Twitter, G+. It goes all over the world. Grandma gets to see it. Lives in a different country. You know, it's what's even better about this is that once these videos are up there, the child themselves or the student themselves goes ahead and talks about it to all of his friends, right? So if the friends come up and they vote for him, we capture all of that information. If you just go up to the platform and you look at a video, it's only worth 1/2 of a star vote. But if you log in and give us some information, it's worth 5 stars. You could give up to 5 stars. So all of the parents tell everybody, you know, you're going up to see Johnny's video, make sure you log in. And what we do is we'll capture that phone number, we'll get the zip code. So now the business owner has a way of getting all of these leads, right, at the end of the competition, and he knows who lives in the neighborhood. He can reach out. What I like to do is I have a pizza party. Mm-hmm. I'll throw a pizza party at the end of the month, and everybody that came up to vote for Little Johnny's video, free pizza for everybody. We come in. We watch some of the videos. We talk to them. Their parents now know where we are. They're leads. I don't even have to go out and pay cold call or pay for leads. They're just there. You know, they come in. They eat pizza with us. We even watch the bloopers because the bloopers are even funnier than some of the videos. Yeah. Jason, it's hysterical. It really is. It's too funny.
One question I have about this is pretty cool. Like, let's just say I wanted to create like I see a lot of this happening around here in Pasco County, Florida, which is like a cheerleading competitions. So let's just say let's just say 3 of our local schools are going head to head. So they don't have to get to this place and rent this big, huge, you know, gymnasium. They can use their own gymnasium. They can put on this particular show for them. What can they do if they win? What can you set up prizes? Can you set up other things like if they win?
Sure you can. What we do right now, the way it works is that if you purchase the platform, you are the owner of the platform. So you would provide the prizes. Okay. But you got to say, remember I was telling you, let's say you had $20 event and you have 100 students. You just made $2,000. You could provide the trophies. You could provide medals. We could even do, you know, on certain things like comedy and stuff like that, we give them so much of the purse, you know, where they're making a little bit of money. All right. One of the things that we're actively looking into too is we're getting involved with cryptocurrency. So people can use Bitcoin or BitShare to purchase, you know, the $95 buy-in. And then what we're looking to do is when these kids show their videos are shown, people will donate, you know, cryptocurrency to that person, you know, for like a college education and stuff like that. So we're looking in that, we're looking that way anyway. What else is there? There's, all of these videos are shown in theaters. Now, they're basic theaters, because I'm the one that's paying. Right now we're in the part of this whole platform where we're looking for investors and we're looking for marketing. But the theaters, when a video is shown in a theater, it's a 3D theater. And the idea behind the theaters is that I want companies, because we're an international company, I want companies like Sony, Apple, LG, Microsoft. I am looking for them to go ahead and build our theaters. I don't even want their money. I mean, they can give it to me if they want, be an investor, but I'm looking for them to build 3D theaters. Jason, if you saw some of these 3D theaters, go on the internet and take a look at 3D theaters, you would swear you're standing inside the theater. They're virtual theaters. They're unbelievable. So what we're looking for is a person. You'll have an avatar walk out on stage. They'll tell you about Sony's favorable deals and possibly want to take you up to Sony's platform. Maybe you're looking for coupons or, you know, to get something off on an item. So people will come up with the idea of picking a particular theater because they want something from that kind of a business. And it's international. It's all over the world. So that's pretty cool. And we keep all of the stats on everything too. You know, you'll know how many. If you went up to the site, I don't know if you had a chance to go up to the site, but right under the theater, you have all of the stats. How many people looked at it? How many star votes? I never went over the other way of judging because this is important. Let's say cheerleading. You brought cheerleading, right? Every school, whether it's martial arts, dance, cheerleading, or whatever it is, they have instructors. Okay? These instructors are giving a special code. Okay? They're given the special code where now when that code is entered into the platform now knows it's not looking for just star votes and views. It's looking for the best overall competitors. Okay? And those are what we call executive votes. So when you go up on the platform and you take a look at one of the theaters, you'll see where it says executive votes. Who's getting executive votes? Who's getting just regular star votes and views? All of those stats are there. So it's just like going to a competition, just like having instructors in the ring. It's the same instructors that would be in the ring, or judging your cheerleading contest. You know, they come from the schools, and this is exactly the same. Yeah, you know, so that's pretty interesting that way.
You know, I love that because of the fact that you can actually take competitions and have them from coast to coast. It's not just in your local neighborhood anymore. If you wanted to broaden out, you can do that without having to have a huge expense. I mean, like, you know, kids coming across from California to go to a competition here, they're going to have to raise a lot of money to do that. You know, this allows them to stay at their own home and still compete.
I know. Believe me, I know. You know, in 2014, I got a call from Sony Pictures. I was supposed to be on Shark Tank. And it was kind of late in the year. It was like in April. So I never ended up getting called to go on Shark Tank. Even though they gave me the interview, they loved what we were doing, they told me to go ahead and fill out that 67-page application and make a video. And we did all of that. But we never ended up getting called. However, it did do something really good for me because once I knew I was going on Shark Tank, we put in all the bells and whistles. I had a provisional patent on the site itself, and I turned that into a utility patent. And so now we have a utility patent on this on the project, and that's a real important thing, especially when you're looking to raise money, you know, from investors. We need to go ahead. the investment money would just go ahead and pay to ramp up the business, get the platform a little bit stronger. I have a couple of ideas as far as themes and stuff I want to go ahead and do. But let me give you an idea of martial arts. Again, I'm going to go back to martial arts. Right now, somebody's telling me I'm using the old stats. I say there's 16,125 schools within the United States. Somebody is telling me right now, martial arts-wise, there's 79,000. But I'm going to go with the 16,125 because I haven't verified that yet. So 16,125 schools would need to have at least 125 students per school to pay customary bills. If you went ahead and times those two numbers together, it's going to come over a little over 2 million active people annually that are taking martial arts. Okay? Now, there's something that's called the MVP. It's the minimal viable product. That tells me the least amount of money I can make from that business model. Best case scenario would be is if all of those 2 million people paid the $25 annual fee, company would make, you know, $50 million for that year, Now, the least they can make is 1%, and that's still over $500,000, and that's only one business model.
Wow.
This can be duplicated as many business models that you can find competition to be in. Okay, so it is a big money project, and there's a lot out there. And like I said, we're just at the point of, we just launched. I went up to Disney here in Florida and we did the U.S. Open. We launched there. We sponsored the event. I had, you know, our logo was up on stage. We presented some trophies. We did a whole bunch of different things. After that event was over, I got on a plane. I went down to Vegas and we went to the MGM. They had the march to continue the launch. The Martial Arts Super Show. We were met with it was fantastic. It was great as far as, you know, what the people were looking at. They loved the idea. And, you know, that's where we are right now. Holidays came, everything stopped. And now we're looking, you know, we're at the next point of the investors in the marketing. So.
Wow.
Hopefully everything works out the way we have it planned.
Absolutely. Well, Ron, we got about 2 minutes left, so please tell everybody how they can get involved and how they can see what's going on and maybe even start up a competition of their own.
Oh, perfect. All right. Well, the website itself is called virtualmaryalphaevents.com. virtualmaevents.com. And going up there, you'll find out a lot about it. Also, look me up on LinkedIn. You know, Ron Tramontano on LinkedIn, and you'll see a lot of the information that is available right there too. Also Facebook. You know, we're trying to get the word out there, and what we're doing with you guys with radio, I think is fantastic because this goes all over. You know, so Jason, I really thank you for the opportunity of doing this for us. That's really good.
Oh, this is
really good.
This is fun. You know, it's a new way of doing things for people, and I'm hoping that some of my listeners will take that up and maybe use it for their advantage, not only to make money, but also get competitions going and get kids active into doing what they love to do and promote them.
Yeah, we have some. We're working right now with some people out of New York for dance groups. You know, dance organizations that do this, and these people have dance is even bigger than the martial arts. I can't even tell you to begin with, people that dance. You know, dance schools, dance groups, everything. Unbelievable. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It is crazy. I've seen a lot of those competitions myself, and they do get very competitive. So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the cheerleading is one of the other ones that's so big. It's amazing. That's another one that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason, again, thank you.
Oh, no problem, Ron, and thank you for coming on, and I hope people will check this out.
I hope so, too. All right, buddy. Take care. Thanks again for this opportunity.
Not a problem.
Take care.
You too. All right, guys. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have more, so don't go anywhere.
Do you love horror? The strange and unusual fantasy creatures or urban legends? Do you want to step inside a dream or nightmare? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you should check out internationally exhibiting artist Jason Dowd and his award-winning photographic collections by visiting www.imaginationartstudios.com. Get inside his mind and experience his inner weird.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Dana Geyer, and you're listening to the AME Radio Show. Make sure you catch the ice cream truck in select theaters and on VOD August 18th. See ya!
All right, everybody, we're back, and I'm about ready to close out the show. I'm going to leave you with as much music as I can, but before I go, I want to tell you something pretty interesting that I learned. You know, I'm going to be switching over my cable company, and with it, I lose my DVR. And now, when the new cable company comes in, I'm going to have a brand new DVR, but the DVR that I have has 5 years of shows, and a lot of them you can't even see on television anymore. They're not on Netflix, they're not on Hulu or anything like that. They're gone. So if I lose that, it's gone. What do I do? You know, and I started looking up, and you can tape them, but you got to tape them to a VCR, and then the VCR tapes now, have you seen the price of them things? Oh my God. So I'm like, yeah, this isn't going to work. So basically, I found a new way of doing it, and it's called a PVR. That's P as in person, V as in Victor, R as in radio, which means personal video recorder. This is the exact same thing that you see people that play games and they make their own movies with their own video games. That's how they do it. It records anything that comes out of the Xbox, the DVR, or whatever, and puts it in the television so you get to watch it. And as you do, you hit the little record button, and when you're done, you hit the record button off. You put it into a thumb drive, and it's done. So if you have the same problem that I'm having and you don't want to lose certain shows, that's one of the ways to do it. Now, I wouldn't suggest putting it on YouTube or anything like that or distributing it, but you can record them and keep them on your computer to watch whenever you want, and it's that easy. It's a PVR. I got mine from Amazon.com. I think you guys should look into it. All right, that's all I have for you guys today. Please join us again next week, same time, same channel, and what that is every Friday at 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time on AMFM247.com and their 11 AMFM stations. You can also find us on the same network Saturday night at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Two different guests on each show, two different shows, so tune in each night. You can also find us on WKLAP.com. That's every Friday at 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Saturday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Radio LUV. That's RadioLove.com. You can find us on iHeart On Demand and iTunes. And if you need those links, just go to our website. All right, guys, keep those creative juices flowing. We will see you again next week. I'm going to leave you with some music, so have some fun and stay safe.
Splish, splash, I was taking a bath long about a Saturday night. Yeah, rubbed up, just relaxing in the tub, thinking everything was all right. Well, I stepped out the tub, put my feet on the floor. I wrapped the towel around me and I opened the door. And in a splish, splash, I jumped back in the bath. Well, how was I to know there was a party going on? There was a splishing and a splash, reeling with the feeling, moving and a grooving, rocking and a rolling. Bing bang, I saw the whole gang dancing on my living room rug. Yeah, flipping flop, they was doing the bop. All the teens had to dance in bug. There was Lollipop with a Peggy Sue. Good golly, Miss Molly was a even there too. Well, a splish splash, I forgot about the bath. I went and put my dancing shoes on. Yeah, I was a rolling and a strolling, reeling with the feel, moving and a grooving, splishing and a splashing. Shh.
We're done. Calm down, people. Calm down. Okay? That's it.